Hey, what's up, Men of Valor? Eric Stewart here. Welcome back to the Men of Valor podcast, season two, episode 20. We're jumping in right here, right in the middle of February 2024. This month, we're talking about spiritual disciplines. And man, excited about the topic we're going to touch on today. I've got a special guest with me. I'll introduce him right after the break. But man, I'm excited to jump into this topic. A very needed discussion on this topic. I think it's one of the spiritual disciplines that's really overlooked a lot, a resource that's given to us by God that we don't tap into. So without further ado, men, let's get after it.
This is the Men of Valor podcast. We exist to help men grow as disciples of Jesus.
Welcome to season two. We're glad you're here.
Let me tell you, I once was a sinner, but I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint. I am a son of the living God Most High.
Go home, embrace your wife with no expectations, and tell her that you love her. And ask her, how can I lead you? Tell me what you need. Be transparent, be open, be honest.
But if we arm ourselves and we never use what we have, that's useless.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Here are your hosts, Travis Watson, Eric Stewart, Jordan Loggins, and Randall Ballou. Let's get after it. All right, man, we're just going to dive right in. A dear friend of mine joining me today, man, we've known each other, I guess, since around 2017, 2018. I just reached out to him, and man, he was gracious to sit down and have lunch with me one day and just really pour into my life. He has been more of a mentor than he knows. He won't say that, but I've watched him from afar for many years because he pastored a church just right down the road. It's Dr. Tom Smiley. Many of you, if you're around this area, you'll hear him called Dr. T. But man, he's just been a dear friend to me. Actually, he's been a part of Men of Valor Ministries. He spoke at our 2018 conference. He was the pastor for 30 plus years at Lakewood Baptist Church down in Gainesville, Georgia. And God just used Dr. T just to, man, to grow a body of believers there. Now his son Tyler has just man, stepped into that role. And man, Dr. T, how are you feeling today, man? It's good to see you.
Well, thank you, Eric. I feel great. And man, I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. I'm so very proud of you. I've watched you grow Men of Valor really from that second year or so that I was there. By the way, I still have the AR-15 that I won. You know, I tell people, you know, you're in the South when you go to a Bible conference and the door prize is AR-15.
Yeah, I forgot that you won the AR-15.
Yeah, I won that. I still have it. I've tried it a couple of times, but you know, I'm so very proud of you and the movement that you're creating. I mean, nothing is more important, I think, than raising up godly men. Yeah. I mean, the church needs godly men. The home needs godly men. Industry needs godly men. And you're just doing a wonderful job. There's a big vacuum, as you know, today.
Yeah.
So you're doing a wonderful job. I'm so proud. And I know you're having hundreds of men show up now. I think the first time I spoke at your church, there was like maybe 50, 45 or 50.
Yeah,
and now you're looking up there close to 400. I'm just so.
Yeah, well, hey, we give all the glory goes to the Lord, you know that. I appreciate your kind words, but got a wonderful executive team around me now that just, man, that's all got their piece and does their part. Yeah. So, Dr. T, I gave just a little piece of who you are. Man, I'd love for you to take a minute because I know there's a lot of guys that's tuning in that's never heard of Dr. Tom Smiley. So why don't you take a few minutes before we dive into our topic today and just share a little bit about who you are, your family, where you've been, and what makes Dr. T, Dr. T?
Well, thank you, Eric. I just retired this past August. I retired as a local church pastor. I was in the local church pastorate for 43 years. 30 of them were at Lakewood Baptist Church in Gainesville. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride. The Lord, I tell you, Eric, I don't know why the Lord has shown favor on me and the ministry that I've been able to be a part of. All the glory to him. I feel a lot like Gideon. You know, Gideon, he said he was from the least tribe, and he was the least in the tribe. And that's kind of how I feel. I don't know why the Lord has allowed me the opportunities and the experiences I've had. But while we were at Lakewood, we moved our entire campus from about a mile down the road. We moved from probably about a, I don't know, maybe 12-acre site to over 53-acre site. And we just been building along and along and along and just trying to do the next right thing, you know, just the next right thing, seeking vision from God. I really believe firmly that you don't vision by committee. I believe that the local church pastor receives a vision from God, and then God provides him the men and the resources and the women to back that vision up and to see it come to be reality. And that's what's happened at Lakewood. It's a wonderful ministry, good, good people, a lot of great men. Talking about men, just a lot of good men. I'm married. I've got two sons. One you mentioned is the pastor of the church. One is in logistics, trucking logistics. Six grandchildren that I highly, highly love. I love my two sons, but I adore my grandchildren. And I look at those grandchildren, I say, this is the reason why I didn't kill those boys when they were teenagers.
There you go. There you go. Purpose. There was purpose behind it.
don't grow weary. Don't grow weary raising your children. But no, I love the local church. I just believe with all my heart that the local church is the place where the message of God and the word of God can best come out of. And then these auxiliary ministries like Men of Valor and other ministries like that really, I think, just add to the church's ability to reach and develop disciples. So yeah, so proud to be with you. And you got a great topic, great, really great topic today.
Yeah. So guys, so we're going to dive right in to the topic today. So the spiritual discipline we're going to be looking at today, and we've talked about this in season one and episode, but man, as soon as I seen the topic and Dr. T just come to my mind, the Holy Spirit just put him on my mind to see if he'd come, and he generously, man, I just called him on the phone, and busy as he is, he's already done a 2-hour radio show today, already recorded his own podcast, and then just got some lunch and jumped on here with me. So, man, just thankful for that. But today we're going to be talking about the spiritual discipline of prayer. Dr. T, I just believe that prayer is one of the most underutilized tools that the believer has. I think for so much, we've turned it into this just little, hey, you just learned this little repetitive thing, and this is what you say as long as you're saying that, that you're praying. And I believe prayer is so much more. Well, I know it's so much more because Scripture teaches us it is so much more. But I just wanted to share a couple of really just verses. There's so many verses on prayer, but us looking into, you know, would prayer be a spiritual discipline? So two verses, two from Philippians and 1 Thessalonians I wanted to share. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and 18, some very familiar short verses where it just simply says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So just taking those two verses, I could say that we could see just from there that it's telling us to pray without ceasing in everything, to pray and give thanks. So to me, that would be God is trying to teach us, this is a discipline that I want you to have in your walk as you follow me. So
well, no, you're exactly right. I often said, as I taught and preached on the subject, I often said that prayer is the most talked about discipline in the church, but probably the least practiced. And unfortunately, I think that's true, partly because I don't think people understand what prayer is.
Yeah.
And I think because they don't understand it, Eric, they tend not to practice it as well as Jesus intended for us.
Yeah.
I often tell people this. I say, you know, I don't know everything about prayer. I have a lot of questions about prayer. But what I do know is that Jesus said we are to pray.
Yeah.
And that's really enough for me. I don't have to understand why. Yeah. I just need to know that Jesus said, pray. And so that's what I've tried to do my whole life is to pray. I will tell you this. I'd love to get your opinion, too, from your own personal life. But I will tell you, in my personal spiritual life, especially as I was an active full-time pastor, I mean, this was a battleground for me. I mean, I had to really work.
Yeah.
I mean, Satan would often attack me on this discipline. I had to work to maintain this discipline in my life.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, there's so many, especially in the day we live in now, there's so many distractions. If you're not intentional to get away and get the distractions away, they will be something that the enemy will put in front of you to distract you around you. That is something, and I'm sure we'll hit on it even deeper, but you have to be intentional with your prayer life.
Yes, that's right. Very intentional. You know, I think another situation that concerns a lot of people is, you know, I don't want people to get too robotic with their praying. Like, you know, set a deadline that I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. and pray till 6:30 and then that's it. You know, I've never really operated that way in my prayer life. I've gone more of, I try to constantly, daily be in prayer. You know, I think that's what that means about being in prayer consistently, you know, is just regularly during the day being in prayer. And I'll tell you something else that's worked for me, Eric, that the Lord has blessed me with is when I pray, for the most part, I pray out loud.
Yeah.
I pray out loud. And it's a wonderful, wonderful technique. You know, in therapy, when you do counseling and therapy, it's always good to have a good counselor who will ask questions so you can respond.
Yeah.
And the reason they want you to do that is because they know that if you respond, you'll hear yourself talk. And when you hear yourself talk, you can kind of say to yourself, That doesn't sound right. And so when you pray out loud, you know, you pray out loud and you're going along your prayer and you pray and you're praying out loud and you say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right.
Or if I'm saying it, I'm like, man, that sounded dumb. Yeah, that's what I say when I hear myself. But so true that and I think I've shared it on the podcast before, but my mom, she just went to be with the Lord just a couple of weeks ago. But there's one thing I can remember as a child, because if there's one person I got to see live out, pray without ceasing, it was my mom. Yeah. I don't know how many times, Dr. T, I'd be in the living room or somewhere and I'd hear her in there doing the dishes and I'd hear her in there just talking.
Yeah.
And I would literally be like, who in the world is mama talking to? And I'd go in there and you would have thought Jesus was physically standing beside her washing the dishes because she was just having a conversation with him out loud in prayer. And it was such a beautiful picture that I get to look back on it now. Back then I was like, you know, mama's crazy. But now looking back, I was like, man, mama was crazy about Jesus and her relationship with him. So
it's interesting that we two pastors, both of us as pastors, it's interesting that your mom was a great prayer warrior and my mom was a great prayer warrior. I have almost the same testimony, Eric, about my mom praying for me. I mean, I would bring a girl home, you know, for Sunday dinner. Mom, this is my girlfriend, so-and-so. And afterwards she'd say, well, I'm going to pray about her. And after about 3 or 4 rejections, I kept saying, now, Mom, don't pray about this
one. I really like this one, Mama. I really like this one.
I like this one. Don't pray about this one.
That's good.
My mother, you know, Eric, she believed in praying about everything. And I mean, she'd pray for a parking place at the mall. You know, I mean, she'd pray for everything. And her mom and dad were prayer warriors, too. Mm. When I was young in the pastorate, my grandfather and grandmother, my mom's mom and dad, were lifelong Baptists, you know, lifelong Baptists. But they moved to a retirement village that was of the Christian church. And in that particular tradition, they had communion every Sunday. Yeah. Every Sunday at 11 o'clock, the first thing they did as a church, they had communion, the Lord's Supper. I knew at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning, whether I was in Mississippi, North Carolina, Lakewood, wherever I was in the pulpit, I knew that 11 o'clock, my grandmother and grandfather were holding hands with the cup and the bread, praying for me. And that was powerful.
Yeah. Wow. That is so good. And man, I mean, we're blessed, right? Because I know there's so many men that's listening to this podcast that that's not their story. That's not their story, that they didn't have.
But they can make it their family story.
Hey, there you go, right? You can break that generational curse or whatever you may want to call it, that you have the power to break that, sir. That's what we're hoping to help you do through this podcast today, is that may not can be your story, but it can be your kid's story.
That's exactly right.
It can be your grandkid's story, that I had a prayer warrior of a dad, prayer warrior of a mom. And let me just say this, sir, and I know y'all have heard it from us, but if you want prayer to be a powerful thing in your home, let it start with you. I thank God for the women that have stepped up and led when their husbands have been passive and not be willing to step up and lead. But this is your opportunity. So I want to tell you, I say this all the time at Liberty, you know, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. So if that's you and you're listening to this and, man, you feel like this has been a spot where you've been passive, hey, well, here's your sign. Here's your sign. Today's your day to pick up the mantle, go home and lead. So, Dr. T, let's just start from scratch. Because, man, I know we got some guys that's listening, man. They've been saved and been trying to follow Jesus for 50, 60 years. But I also know we got guys that, man, that just got saved last week, last month, or maybe we even got some guys that's tuning in. And, man, they've never put their faith in Christ, and they're just checking this whole Jesus thing out, this whole Christianity thing out. So in your words, we're talking about this prayer. What would you say, what is prayer? So if you're trying to explain prayer just overall to a full audience, you're standing in the pulpit. You got this big audience out here, and the question is asked, what is prayer? How would you put that?
Yeah, I think for me, prayer is not getting something from God, but for me, prayer is learning to be something for God. And so, you know, I'm mindful of the petition part of my prayer. I mean, I do have petitions in my prayer. I do ask for things. I ask for a lot of things for my grandchildren, for my family, for myself. But somewhere in that prayer, Eric, you know, you've got to be of the mind to ask God, what does he want you to be? Who does he want you to be? And ask him for the strength to know what he wants you to be and to do. So I think prayer is that communication with God, that personal communication with God. And that's how I've often framed it when I talk about it in the pulpit.
Yeah, just simply, one way I've always thought, just, man, it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. Just like me and you are sitting here having a conversation. And for somebody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit living within them, that may sound really weird to them. But it's something when you're getting in the Word of God, which we talked about Bible reading last week, when you get in the Word of God, And then you turn your praying, it's how you have the conversation with him. We're reading through the book of Acts right now at Liberty, and, you know, we're into that part. And I see it so many times, Dr. T, and I know y'all went through Acts like with many times and read it and taught it. Mm-hmm. But how many times do we see that early church that they're so in fellowship that, man, they can hear so clearly from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit said, I mean, the scripture says the Holy Spirit told Philip, go. Yeah. He told Peter, don't worry about it. You go to Cornelius's house. And, man, as I've been reading that, I said, man, I want my prayer life to be so in tune with the Spirit that it is like I'm talking to Dr. T right here, and I can hear his voice in my ear, that I want to be so in tune. And one of the ways we do that is through prayer. With this spiritual discipline of prayer, why is it so important to a follower of Christ? Why is prayer, like you said earlier, is something that's talked about a whole lot? We know this, right? When I know you've probably seen it over the years too. You ask somebody, hey, would you step up and serve in this area? Their number one answer is, well, let me pray about it. You know, that's the Baptist answer. For you don't know, that's the Baptist answer. But my answer is no, but I'm going to tell you next week when they say that. But it is talked about. But for the guys that's listening in, if we are saying that Jesus told us to do this, but we're not doing it, why should I? So if you're telling a guy, so why should he pray? What is the importance of him developing the spiritual discipline of prayer in his life? What would you say?
You know, I always get tickled when people say, well, let me pray about it. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. Do you pray about eating? I mean, do you pray about walking? Do you pray about breathing? You know, I mean, you know, some things you just do because that's what you do, right? I mean, you get an opportunity to serve, then you serve. I mean, it's not rocket science. So I think some people, like you say, will use that as a crutch. Eric, you know, I really think that for me personally, prayer just keeps me centered. I can tell you, when I haven't had my daily kind of consistent prayer time through the day, through the week, I don't do well. I don't speak well. I don't think well. I don't react well. But it's really amazing when you're in that spirit of prayer, like all day long. I mean, I'll pray during the day. I'll pray at night. I pray when I wake up. I don't have like one set moment to pray. I just believe that prayer is communication. So I talk to God. I talk to him about everything. And I talk out loud to him about everything. And I ask him to use it to form me into what he wants me to be. And I'm just convinced, you know, I tell people all the time, if it weren't for Christ in my life, Eric, I think I'd be a tremendous reprobate. I would just be a selfish narcissist, just a reprobate. But it's that prayer that I really think keeps me centered in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that, in communion with him. Right. The longer I hang around him, the old saying, you become who you hang around. Yeah. If you're hanging around, I think Robbie Gowdy said it. How do you become more godly? Hang around God more. You get in his word, talk to him more, get around godly people. That's how we become that. So,
talking about being around God, one thing that our pastor is doing at Lakewood now that I never did, I didn't think about it, but he's done it from day one, is in our corporate prayer times on Sunday morning, he will pray through a psalm, he'll take that psalm and instead of reading it and praying it like in third person, it's in first person.
Yeah.
Lord, you are our light and our salvation. Lord, you are the path for our way. You are the light of our path.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. If you take those psalms, there's so many beautiful psalms that you could read as prayers, because that's what they are. Many of them are prayers.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So good. And I know the guys on here, they've heard about the book we recommended, Praying the Bible by Donald S. Whitney.
Yes, that's right.
Sort of kind of like that, not putting it in first person, but, reading a verse and then praying it back, whatever God brings to your mind.
It's amazing. I just called that book up. I'm looking at it on another one of my devices over here. I just called up Praying the Bible. Same book.
Yeah. So great resource. So if you're new with us and you missed that episode, that I know it's helped my prayer life and going and just praying those psalms. But just taking that psalm, just like Dr. T said, hey, if you do it like Tyler's doing at Lakewood, man, just turn that, for the psalmist right and make it your prayer. To get started. I mean, there's no excuse not to start somewhere. So
I think too, teaching, Eric, I think we got to teach our men how to pray,
Okay.
They just don't know how to pray. And, you have all the little, you have the five fingers, you have the, ABC or whatever you call it. There are a lot of techniques you can use and wherever you come down on. But, I believe a lot of prayer should be about, praise and petition, about praise and adoration.
Yeah.
There should be prayer about confession.
Yeah.
Prayer about thanksgiving. Prayers of petition, where you ask for stuff. I ask the Lord for stuff. There's nothing wrong. What does the Bible say? Pray about everything.
Yeah.
For my life, Eric, I just felt like what I learned from my mother is I just pray about everything and let God work it out. Let him work it out.
Yep. That's it. But it should be, you said something a while ago and I forgot about it. You said right there is where you said, your mother would pray about everything, pray about a parking space, pray about this. Man, shouldn't that be what we do though? Philippians, that's what Paul said to the church of Philippi, that in everything, put it in prayer and petition, seek what the Lord wants done. And I think we take a lot of that for granted, but you know what? If I'm praying what parking spot God wants me in, he may put me beside somebody.
That's right.
That he needs me to minister to, that he needs me to talk to. I think we miss so much, Dr. T.
Yeah.
On not, only praying about the things that, I need God to step up in this instead of praying about that every day.
Yeah.
But if I'm in that constant commune with him where I'm just talking to God, what checkout line do you want me to go in? That sounds silly.
I know.
Men, they're going to say, that sounds silly. I just want to go to the shortest one. Well, maybe God needs you to stand in line in that one that's got three people in it because that man that's standing there, he's a recovering drug addict or something, and he's fixing to go do something. He's fixing to fall back off, and he's just needing somebody just to talk to him.
Yeah.
And God's trying to put you there. I think a lot of times we miss it because we're not in tune with the Spirit because we're not praying without ceasing.
No, you're exactly right. And you just nailed it, Eric. That's exactly right. I think that when you're in that constant sense of prayer, that constant sense of praying, I think you're more open to the Holy Spirit's direction. I really do. I know I drive the golf carts on Sunday morning at our church and I just whisper a prayer when I get in that golf cart. I say, Lord, all right, you put me in front of whoever I need to be in front of today. I whoever I pick up, help it to be whoever you want me to be in front of. And sure enough, this past Sunday, I had the opportunity to pray with two people. One was a 90-year-old lady that I didn't know was having difficulty and had cancer and was going to have a procedure today. Another was a man whose wife just got diagnosed with cancer. And I'm just telling you, I believe with all my heart that when I uttered that prayer that morning, God, you put me in front of whoever I need to be in front of, that's answered prayer. I just believe God put me in that position.
Yeah. And I hadn't even thought about that like that. But you want to see God answer prayers? If you're praying constantly those prayers like that, then God puts that person in your life. But I don't know how many times when I was working at Pepsi before I come full time here, that the mornings I'd ask God, God, would you let me see who you want me to just minister to today, to give an opportunity for me to share the gospel? It was like when I actually asked him to do that, like, I mean, it was like throughout the day I'd see it. It's like, man, God, you just put that guy in my path right here at this convenience store, 50 miles away from home, but you put him in my path. And I got to see that answered prayer. How many more times could we go into a day of praise? Because throughout the day, I'm seeing God answer my prayers.
That's right.
But one of the reasons we don't is because we're not praying.
That's right. You know, Eric, I when I talk about prayer and preach on prayer, I usually ask people, what is it that you would do different if you had to do it all over again, you know, like in ministry?
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I will just tell you, for me, I would have done better family meditations, family prayer. I would have done that better. When the kids were young, I would go to my boys in each of their rooms. I'd kneel by their bedside. We'd hold hands and I would pray for that son in that bedroom. Then I'd pray for this son in that bedroom. But what I wish I would have done different was to have family corporate prayer. I mean, we'd have it around the dinner table. I mean, around the breakfast table, we'd always have our prayer, but those were more, you know, prayers of thanksgiving for the food and for the meal.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have used that more as a, let's just take 3 minutes and have an earnest, like, family prayer time. And I would challenge the guys listening to really think about that as a dad, to really, really think about that family prayer time. It doesn't have to be for 30 minutes. I mean, the food doesn't have to get cold, but I would find a way to work that into my routine.
Yeah, that's good, Dr. T. I know we've talked about here, you know, family worship and leading your family in worship and having those times of scripture reading, things with your family. But man, what better opportunity? And I challenge you, because I know, man, busy as our culture is here in the States, and I know we got guys listening from all around the world, but here in the States, that very seldom families get to sit around the dinner table anymore. Yeah. That's sad. But I challenge you, man, to try to make that happen at least once a week. And then what Dr. T just said, don't just do the 30-second, you know, God is great, God is good. Yeah. God is taking forward his food. You know, that's great for your kids. It's teaching them that. But take some time. Go around, take some prayer requests. Ask your children, hey, how can I pray for you today? How can we pray for you this week? And specifically ask them, I've got two boys with autism. Now, they're probably not going to give me no answer, but they're listening. But this is what I want them to see. And I want y'all to hear me, guys. Man, I've missed the boat on this more than I hit it on leading my family well in this area. But this is what I know, that the times when I do go around, we take prayer requests, and then we stop and we pray, they're seeing it.
Yeah, that's right.
They're seeing it. You know, the old saying, things are usually more caught than taught.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I can say it all I want to, but they see me at church. If I'm talking about, we need to pray. But if my kids never see me pray at home,
right,
then they're going to be like, well, Dad just talks a good game.
Yeah.
But he don't flesh any of it out. So
that is so true. And I would really challenge our men to really think about how they could incorporate that in their family life. You know, I think our kids need to see us praying. I really do. I've really grown in this thought. You know, I really think that like for children praying, I know it's neat and it's nice. And I like to have our grandchildren to pray at family functions and family gatherings. But, you know, the prayer of a third grader or the prayer of the second grader is that's their prayer. I mean, and I get that. That's real for them.
Yeah.
But I think we miss a lot of opportunities, as you said, for our kids to see us praying our heart before them as a dad, as a grandfather.
Come on. Yeah.
You know, just praying or calling them by name, you know, calling out their their prayer concerns. And I just think we should do that more. I mean, it's nice to hear the, you know, you, thank you for the food we eat and all that. That's a great little prayer. And that's a good way to train children.
Yeah.
But I would love to see dads take the lead in those moments more often than not.
Yeah. I mean, what an opportunity to step up and lead.
Yeah.
To step up and lead. And I know some guys on here that, man, praying out loud just ain't my thing. Well, that's okay. Guess what? Jesus didn't call us to do the easy thing. He called us to do hard things. And man, I don't know, when I was in student ministry, I'll never forget talking to some teens one night, and we was talking about prayer, and, you know, and they was talking about, and this is what they said. They said, yeah, our dad prays. It was a couple of siblings. Our mm-hmm. dad prays, but it's the same exact prayer.
Yeah.
Every single time. It's that they said we could recite what he's going to say at the dinner table every single time. So guys, this is what we're talking about. It's not about learning a prayer and repeating a prayer. Man, if that's where you need to start to help you get going, to get used to doing it, start there. But then, man, change it where it's personal. And I've had so many guys, Dr. T, and I know you probably had too, that's like, well, man, I just don't have these eloquent words. Yeah. Where in the world in Scripture do you see anything about eloquent words except where Jesus says have their eloquent words and they have got their praise?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, so it's not about eloquent words. It's about having a conversation with God.
I know. I love to read prayers of people. You know, like Peter Marshall has a great book, The Prayers of Peter Marshall. He was a Senate chaplain for many years and so forth. And many times I'll take one of his prayers and I'll use it as the framework for my prayer. You know, because it you're exactly right. If you're not careful, you can get in a rut. I know. I have a very good friend, and Eric. He starts his prayer off the exact same way. The first two sentences are the same. I don't care if it's about death or healing. It's going to be the same way. I mean, it's the same story. Now, he'll eventually get to the right spot, but he'll start that place. But I'll tell you, if you want to learn how to pray, read the Psalms out loud and find you a couple of good prayer books and read those prayers out loud. Learn how other people prayed. You know, the disciples, the early church fathers, the psalmists, you know, great leaders of our faith. You know, I love to read the prayers of Adrian Rogers. You know, he was a prayer warrior.
Yes, sir.
So maybe people could think about looking at the prayers of other people as a means of learning how to pray more themselves.
Yeah. And you know, and I know a lot of guys that do, we're part of another ministry that, you know, they challenge you to say the Lord's Prayer every morning on your knees. And we know Matthew chapter 6, that, I mean, Jesus does give the example, but, you know, I really believe in that. Man, there's many, what you was talking about a while ago, petition. There's many that's put an outline out that I really believe that Christ was giving us an outline. He said, he didn't say, pray this.
No.
He said, pray like this.
That's exactly right.
He was giving an example. So you can take Matthew chapter 6, that example Jesus gave. And I love it, Dr. T, the thoughts of looking up, finding some books where other guys pray. And, you know, it's not that I'm praying their prayer, but man, how do we learn? This is one thing I've loved to hear, you know, so many times, you know, man, I have nobody to disciple me. Well, that's a lie. There's books by the billions that you can purchase on Amazon. You can get on Audible that you can listen to and learn from, and let some of these from years gone by, let them pour into your life. But you just got to be willing to dig in and learn.
That's right. That's right. And I just think too, I tell people all the time that, you know, what's important is that you honor God in your prayers and you have a mindset to know that, you know, God is God and I am not. Mm. God is God and I am not. So, like, I'm not going to mess up if I pray for the wrong thing. God's not going to do something wrong because I pray for it, right? I mean, if I make a mistake, he's not going to say, okay, I'll do it. That's a mistake, but I'll do it. I mean, so don't be afraid, men. Don't be afraid to pray, to talk out loud, to speak out loud when you pray to God. I just think that's so important, this out loud concept, because you need to hear yourself praying. And don't make your prayers always just about asking. You know, some of my most real moments in prayer have been when I just fell down on my face and just tried to adore God, to try to praise him. And, you know, Eric, I was I was well blessed in my retirement. The church gave me a really nice retirement gift, and it really bothered me. I mean, it really bothered me. I felt almost guilty about this gift, and I kept trying to think of ways to thank the church and to thank God, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't find a way. And I was at a retreat, a school retreat. I was a chaperone of a private school retreat, Christian school retreat. And one of the singers sang that song, "All I Got Is Hallelujah."
Yeah.
"All I Got Is Hallelujah."
Yeah.
And that song spoke to me. And I spent the next 30 minutes that night by myself with my eyes closed in the back of that auditorium as a chaperone, just saying, "God, all I got is hallelujah. That's all I got."
Yeah.
"Is hallelujah. I mean, it's all I got."
And
It was a spiritual moment for me.
That's good, Dr. T. So good. And guys, I know a lot of you hearing this, man, praying out loud. You're starting to stutter already just thinking about it. But listen, you have time. That car ride to work. That car ride when you're by yourself, start practicing then. I remember, man, when my mom was passing, and I'm saying so much because I learned so much during this time, but they said my cousins that are a little way, not way older than me, she'd kill me if I said that, she heard this, but a few years older than me, got to meet my Granny Pearl, which was my mother's mom. Uh-huh. Now, they say she was a flat prayer warrior, but this is what they said about Dr. T, and it all ties in with what you've been saying, that my cousins, there's two, three of them, they got to spend the night with her at her house before she passed. She passed before I was born, but they said they can remember laying in their bed, getting ready to go to sleep, and they would hear Granny Pearl in the next room over. Yep. They could hear her praying, calling all her family members out by name, calling. Yep. And then they said, but this is what they said, Dr. T, and I was like, man, what a prayer warrior. They said, we would go to sleep, and when we would wake up, she would still be praying. That we could still hear her over there praying out loud, unashamed, to talk to God, because that's what he is. He is a friend that's closer than a brother. He's your king. He's your savior. He died on the cross to make it personal, not for you to not be able to talk to him, not for you to have to go to a priest. We have our high priest, Jesus Christ, that made a way for us to go boldly, into the throne room of God. And so pray those bold prayers. And man, I challenge you, well, people's going to think I'm crazy. Well, if they're going to think I'm crazy, praise God, let them think I'm crazy about Jesus. I'll be like that old DC talk. I'll be a Jesus freak. If they want to call me a Jesus freak, I will take it. But so many, and it's just the culture. And Dr. T, I know we're both pastors, But I say we have to blame the church in a lot of ways over these past years where we've allowed men to get passive because we haven't challenged them to step up like we should have. We haven't, you said a little bit before the call, you know, we haven't discipled them in this. Right. That there hasn't been somebody to come alongside of me and say, hey, do you understand this?
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like, when we teach evangelism, I remember I took Evangelism Explosion. You remember that back in the 70s or the 80s? EE is what they called it. And I took the whole session. I was a young person or kind of a young adult. I took the whole 8-week, 9-week, 10-week, did the whole thing. And then the next day, that was it. Like, we never did anything. we learned all about it, but we never practiced it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in church, we talk about prayer, but we don't really teach our men how to pray. I remember when I was a young pastor, I was 17, 18 years old. I was the interim pastor of my home church. I decided I would just do a little vacation Bible school. We only had like 7 kids. But for that week, I took those 7 kids and we brought our Bibles and I showed them how to use the concordance. I showed them how to use the table of contents. I showed them how to look up a scripture. And then I showed them how to pray. And I taught them how to pray. And I had them practice how to pray.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most productive vacation Bible schools I've ever been a part of, because it was practical. You know, it was teaching them. And I would love to see, you know, our men do some one-on-one mentoring with other men and say, okay, we're going to actually not talk about prayer, but we're going to pray right now. And I'm going to pray and you're going to pray. And then we're going to talk about those prayers. And I really think that's what we need to do more of.
Yeah. Well, hey, since we're here, why don't we have a 101 crash course from Dr. T on? So let's say there's, because Dr. T, I know we do. Yeah. I know we've got many men that's listening to this right now, and they're saying, man, I wish I had somebody that would help teach me. So if you was just given a crash course, I know it would be discipleship is a journey that we walk together. Yeah. But with us just having this time frame and where me and you are at right now, if you had that guy and he's sitting there saying, please somebody teach me how to pray.
Yeah.
What would you say to him? What would be maybe some starting points to get him started on that journey?
Yeah, I'd say, John, will you take a moment to speak about your adoration and your praise of God? Will you just take a moment to say, God, you are great. God, you are good. God, I love you. You have loved me. I praise your name. You're the one true God. You're God and I'm not. I would say, John, take some moments just to say how great God is. And then I'd say, John, take a moment now to ask God to help you be the person that you need to be. Ask him to help you with your temper. Ask him to help you with your relationship with your high schooler, with your teenager. Ask him to help you now to be less critical of your wife and to look for more of what's right in your home than what's not right. And I say, so John, pray about that for a little bit. Just take a moment to pray for your teenager and to pray for your attitude toward him or toward her. And then I'd say, John, now take a moment just to give the Lord a petition. What is it that you need God to do today for you? What prayer request do you have? Are you struggling at work? Do you need a raise? What is it that you feel like you need God to do in your life? So take a moment to give a petition. And then I always like to close my prayer and always talk my men when they pray to say this. Always, Eric, this is always part of my teaching on prayer. Always say at the end of your prayer, say this, God, I know you've heard me today. And God, I know you will respond today. Mm. And I just believe that's the last thing we should leave with God is, God, I know you've heard me pray today. And I know you'll respond to this prayer that I've offered today. I just believe that's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's over, over it tells us where, man, it's the prayers of the faith. It's the faith that's in our prayers to believe that God hears us, to believe that God's going to step through. And, and when we get lined up, I think it's what we miss. You said it earlier, that I may pray a stupid prayer that God's like, nah, man, we're we're not even going there, man. That answer's going to be, he's going to answer it, but it's going to be a quick no. Or it might be a quick, are you kidding? I answer that one. But, when we start getting closer to God, the Bible tells us so many people take the scripture out of context, that God will give you the desires of your heart. He will. When your heart's desires is what his heart That's desires. Right. Yeah. And when we do that is how we get communion with him. Yeah. And when I get to that point, just like you said, man, God, what do you want?
Eric, do you talk about that might help the men listening today. Do you ever write down your prayers? Do you ever write out prayers? Have you found that to be helpful?
Man, I have found that to be so helpful. Now I don't do it as much as I should, but when I have done it, Dr. T, man, it makes me realize how much stuff I say in my prayers verbally that when I write it down, because when you write it down, it slows you down, right? You have to slow down to think about you're doing. So yes, I would highly recommend if you've never done it, especially sit down and just write your prayer out to God, like you're writing him a letter and just write it out. Yeah.
I have found that to be true for me in my life is, and one other thing it does for you is it, you get a chance to read through some of your prayers and you say, shoot, I'm praying for the same thing all the time. I mean, that's all I ever do is pray for the same thing. Maybe I need to pray for something else. It helps you kind of get out there a little bit more with some other concerns or praise or petition that you might have. So I did a lot of journaling or writing down my prayers. Here's another challenge too, for some of the men who might be pastors who are listening. I had a really struggle with this, Eric, just like your sermon preparation time. And let me tell you, folks, if you haven't heard Eric Stewart preach, you've missed a blessing. This man is a God-ordained, inspired preacher of God's word. And Eric, I know you spend a lot of time preparing, studying, praying over a sermon, but that can't be your devotion time. That can't be Eric's devotion time. That's for the people of God's time. Yeah. And I think a lot of preachers make the mistake. A lot of pastors make the mistake that I have all my time. No, that's time that you're preparing for the church. Yeah. You need to have your prayer time as an individual prayer person, as an individual Christ follower. And so I think that's important,
yes,
that we understand that I have to have my personal prayer time. I can't say just because I pray for the church, that's my prayer time.
Yeah, true. And that, I'd say that also goes if you're a Sunday school teacher or you're teaching a class. I've been there, Dr. T. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a time where I spent what should have been my personal time seeking the Lord and you know, getting there. But I spend that time to do my study time to make sure I'm ready for the class I got to teach on Wednesday night or whatever.
Yeah.
And what ends up, let me tell you what happens. And some of you may be there right now. I end up dry. I end up burned out. Because you know what? I'm not getting fed. So many people's like, man, how do you preach almost every single Sunday? And when do you get fed? I said, it's my personal time when I get fed. I make sure I get time to listen to another pastor preaching online, or I listen to a good podcast that's feeding me. But none of that overrides my time in prayer and my time in the Word. And definitely, you know, make sure that you are prioritizing. Once again, we go back to what we talked about earlier. You have to be intentional.
Yeah, that's right. Now, let me ask you about this, because this always was a concern of mine. I am not an early morning person. I mean, I just am not. I've always felt like, and some people disagree with me on this point, but I feel like your prayer time and your quiet time and your time alone with God time, I believe it should be when you're at your best. That's when you're at your best, that's when you should be engaging in that personal prayer time, that personal petition, personal praise. And I'm not at my best at 5:30 in the morning. I'm just not. I am just not at my best. I'm more at my best around 9:45.
Yeah.
You know? Or even at 10 o'clock at night, you know. Now that's me. And I had to struggle and had to really fight through. If you're going to do it other than first thing in the morning, then you got to protect some time throughout the day. Yeah. Because if you aren't careful, you'll get to the end of the day and you won't have, quote, time for it.
Yeah.
So that's the danger. But when do you tend to do your personal prayer and devotion time? Is it minutes in the morning? Is it minutes at evening? Or when is it for you?
Now, me and you use the exact opposite. I my alarm set for 4 o'clock in the morning, and I get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. And the main reason, and guys on here that's been around me while they've heard it, but the main reason is, man, I got a bunch of kids in my house.
Yep.
And the only time there's going to be any kind of quiet time in my house is before 6 a.m.
That's right.
And listen, I used to not be a morning person. I used to like stay up late. I used to like sleep as long as I could sleep.
Yep.
But when it got down to that part where I seen I was missing my personal time with the Lord, I had to make a sacrifice. And I became a morning person. I remember Pastor Johnny Hunt used to always say he never liked to read, but he made himself read until he become to love to read. And now he's wrote books, but there was a point where he didn't like to. So I would agree with you. I mean, I always challenge guys because you can make time in the morning. Now, me, I'm exact opposite of Dr. T. If I try to read my Bible at night or try to pray at night, I'm going to be asleep before I say, my Father who art in heaven, I'm going to be a solid Lord. You get me still about after 8 o'clock and I'm gone. But I would agree with you. Because I don't think we know Jesus set the example. He did get up early, but I just know some people aren't built like that. And I know my dad now, you know, he's retired. He ain't got to get up at 5 o'clock exactly in the morning. Well, he don't have to.
Yeah.
But I would say find what works for you.
That's right. You're right about that.
And then schedule. It might be during your lunch break where you can go sit out in your car and you have an hour in your car where you can be by yourself and you can get you something to eat, read your Bible, have some time in prayer.
You're spot on about that. And I tell you what, I tell people all the time that life is about seasons. I mean, I'm telling you, marriage life and life with children, it's all about seasons. There's a different season, it seems like, to our life. And you're exactly right. When my two boys were young, involved in every sport in the world, having to get to school early, you know, I took them to school and then I went to the church and I went around to the back of the parking lot and I sat in my car. I went to work early, you know, and I sat in my car and had my Bible, had my devotion book, had my journal, and I'd spend 20 minutes in my car alone, journaling, writing, and praying, because that's the only place I could find that time.
Yeah.
You know, I really couldn't. And then as the kids grew and they had other activities, I had more time at home. Now that I'm retired, I find I do a lot of praying early in the morning. I'm praying now early in the morning more than I ever did. But and then also just and in the evenings, because we're home, we're by ourselves, you know, we're reading or my wife is doing something, and we have that time. So I would tell the men, don't get discouraged. You're spot on. Find a time right now that works for you.
Yeah.
And there has to be a time, and you got to sacrifice to make that time.
Yeah. And it may, and you may have to sacrifice some of your free time from doing something. And this is going to sound bad, and it shouldn't, but it's going to sound bad. Something you enjoy doing, but man, shouldn't we enjoy getting in the presence of the Lord, getting in his word. And I'd say this, if that's not a joy in your life, man, you need to work on that.
Now let me talk to you. Let me ask you about posture.
Okay.
You know, what I found in my life is when I do have my private prayer time, I'm talking about just me and God. I'm not in front of anybody, I'm not with anybody. But I used to have a place reserved in my office. It was off in the corner. There was a chair there, and then my journal and my Bible and other books that I read. And I would go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt, Eric, I just felt like I needed to get on my knees, you know, and so my posture was I'm on my knees, and I often would put my face to the ground, and that just seemed to connect with me. So how do you stand up? Do you walk around? Do you kneel? How do you do your posture?
When it's in my personal time, there's many times that I will get on my knees, but there's many times, man, I've got my spot at my house where it's, mm-hmm. I've got my chair. I sit in the same chair every day where I got my Bible. You know, I got my journal. I got everything laid out. And many times it's just me in that sitting in the chair. But like you said, and we're talking about, you know, just that. I want to make sure our guys understand, you know, we're not saying you have to be in a certain, it's not a posture, a physical posture. It's a heart posture.
It's a heart posture.
Posture. Like you said, that there are many times I'm in my office right now here at the church, and there's many times that, man, when I'm preparing for a sermon, I'm in this chair, but I have to get out of this chair and get on that floor. You remember, I'm sure you heard the story of Dr. A.J. Rogers when he went out and he was praying, and he went out and he laid just prostate flat on the ground, and he didn't think he was low enough, and he dug him a little hole and stuck his nose in the hole so he'd get a little lower in the presence of the Lord because he was seeking the Lord. I think that there's many times that a physical posture, because, man, when you truly get in the presence of the Lord. It changes the way you do things. But, you know, for me, it's not a specific, and like I said, once again, have to be careful on just getting into that routine and getting into the religious routine of things. And, you know, and so for me, I'm like, whatever I'm feeling in the moment, man, if I want to get on my knees, there's many times, Dr. T, I'll sit, you know, I'll go kindergarten Sky. I'll sit crisscross applesauce and get up against the wall somewhere and, you know, and just, take some moments and just pray like that.
I have found whatever I do, whether I stand and look up and pray, or whether I sit, or whether I kneel, or whether I just fall on my face, I usually find that I get impressed by God at that moment of what I need to do. Like I just feel impressed sometimes when I'm in my private prayer time. Sometimes I just feel overwhelmed that I need to get on my face before God. I need to bow my heart and bow my head to Him. Other times I think I just want to walk and look up and hold my hands up and look at the sky, you know, and thank the Lord. So I would just encourage men to just experiment with that and don't get in a rut, you know. I just think it just follow the lead of the Holy Spirit in that.
Definitely follow His lead. Like I said, we see in the early church in Acts, man, they're constantly, the Holy Spirit is prompting them. But what do we see almost every time, Dr. T, in the early church, when we see a great move of God all through the early church, what do we see? They were united in what?
Prayer. That's right.
They were exactly together. Right. They were united, and they were praying. Just read through where Peter, you know, Herod had just killed James, and he saw it pleased the people. So he went and got Peter. He was fixing to kill Peter. But it says that the people were back at the house praying for Peter, praying, right. And God showed up and answered prayer because people were praying and, yeah. and seeking his face. So guys, there's still, I'm a firm believer, there's still power in prayer.
Amen.
There's still power in talking to the God of the universe. He hears Amen. Our prayers. Our prayers matter to him. He's a loving father. He wants to hear from his children, just like you want to hear from your children. You yeah. want to have those conversations yeah. with your kids. He wants the same from us.
I just want to follow up on that and just say too that you know it's imperative, men. Those of you who are listening today on this podcast, listen. I don't want to sound gratuitous, but it is imperative that you pray for your pastors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm retired now. I was in local church ministry for 43 years, and I'm just telling you, I know, Eric. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the prayers of my people sustained me. I know that. And I would encourage all of our men, I don't know how much practice you've had in praying, but listen, it doesn't take a lot to learn to pray for your pastor.
Yeah.
To ask the Lord to bless him with wisdom, with insight, to flee from temptation, to bless him with the knowledge of his work. I mean, pray for your pastor. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit, through the prayers of my people, really sustained me for that 43 years in the ministry. Because Eric, you can't say it because you're still working. I'm retired and I'm old and I can't say it. It's hard. It's hard work. I mean, being a pastor is not easy. And I know the prayers of my people helped sustain me for 43 years.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I want to touch on one thing, Dr. T, and we'll kind of wrap it up because we're about out of time. But talking to our guys about praying, we talked about praying for your pastor. Believe it, do it. Hey, if you need somewhere to start, pray for your pastor. Pray with your family. Yeah. But what about the guy that's married, praying with his bride? It's just him and her.
I'm telling you, I should have done better. Terry and I will pray now. We've been married 45 years, but I wish I had had more wisdom, more courage, whatever I needed, just to have one-on-one time with my wife. I mean, we did it with us and our children. We did it with us in our church, and we do it at the altar together. But just that, yeah. I should have done better at that, Eric. That is something that if I had to do it over again, I would muster up the courage and the stamina to have just some consistent prayer time with my wife. I just wish I'd done that more.
So this is, man, I love that you said that, Dr. T, because guys, listen to me. That's coming from a seasoned pastor that is retired. And listen, he had struggles as well.
Mm.
Don't think that your pastor's just got everything together. He does everything perfect. Because I promise you, if they say they do, they got a problem with lying because we have our struggles. We have our faults. We have our failures. But so I wanted to say that to be an encouragement to you, sir, that you feel like a failure. The enemy's telling you, you can't lead at home. You can't pray with your bride. You can't pray your family. You can't even pray for your pastor. You're sorry. You're low down. You're no good. I want to tell you all those are lies from the enemy to keep you. Listen, to keep you from opening up. Something that's going to unleash extra power in your life spiritually, because when you start praying, you start seeing God answer prayers. It's going to start giving you praise, and it's just going to start radically changing your walk with Christ.
Yeah.
So
I got to say one more thing.
Yeah,
I know
you go ahead.
Time, but you just sparked a great thing. Listen, I learned with my two teenage boys when they were teenagers, this is what I learned, a great lesson about prayer. I learned that when I prayed for my teenage sons, and when I prayed for God to change my heart toward them, things got better.
Yeah.
And I would just tell fathers today, get on your knees before God and think about that teenage boy, that teenage girl, pray for them out loud, ask God to change your heart, to give you wisdom. You'd be surprised what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. I'm telling you, Eric, you're right. The adversary wants to keep all of these men that we're talking to today from praying.
Yes.
He wants to keep them from that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows the power that God has in answering prayer.
Yeah, well, he's seen the early church in Acts.
Yeah, he did.
He's seen what happened when people started gathering together and started truly praying for the Lord. He's seen, people getting saved by the thousands, families getting radically changed. So he knows what happens when people pray. And I think that's one of his, like you said, he's got the church really good at talking about it, but not executing and not practicing it. So, well, Dr. T, as we kind of close up here, I know we've talked about a couple resources, the prayers of Peter Marshall that you mentioned, the Praying the Bible by Donald S. Whitney. Is there any other resources or books that, you have, or you may not have anything else pulled up or just on your mind?
I always had a devotional book that had a prayer with it. I use the Bible app right now a lot for my devotion. And many of those devotions that they have, there's a prayer in them. And so I like to read those prayers out loud to just help me with my vocabulary, with my thinking and framing stuff. So I would say read the prayers of other people. But there's so many good resources out there. Ask your pastor. If you're very unfamiliar, don't just go on the internet and look for something. Ask your pastor. If a member came to me, I would give him some books. So ask your pastor for a couple of names. He'll give you some.
Yeah, definitely. And if he don't, man, reach out to us. He should. I said it last week. If you're going to your pastor and asking him for biblical help and he ain't giving it to you, you might want to find a different church. I'll tell you for experience. I may not can give you something right off the cuff, but I promise you this. I'll dig and find, and through my circles of influence, I'll try my best to help find you something. But there's no excuse, guys, not to start praying. Listen to me.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Not saying I'm going to start next week. I'm going to wait on that devotional to get in. No, today you can pray for your family. You can pray for your pastor. You can talk to God. Open up the book of Psalm and pray one of those Psalms. There's so much that's available to you to start now. And man, it's progress by degrees. You start today, you make one little step of progress. Just think where you could be from a year from now.
If you
continue to grow in that walk. We pray that this has been a blessing to you. Any last thoughts or anything from you, Dr. T, before we sign off today?
Let me just say, my friend, may the Lord bless you and keep you, Eric. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, Eric, my friend, and may God grant to you his peace is my prayer for you.
Amen, my brother. Amen. We forward that on to all of you that's listening today. Hey, couple really quick announcements before we sign off. Hey, all the books, I'll try my best to put the links to those in the show notes below. So you can just go down and click it and go find them there. So I'll try my best. Also, don't forget, we just dropped this past Monday. When this is dropped, we put out our new MOV swag shop. So if you're looking for some Men of Valor merchandise, that is available. I'll put a link to that below. And of course, don't forget about Men of Valor Conference 2024, August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, Black Mountain, North Carolina at the Ridgecrest Conference Center. Man, we are looking forward. We got just an awesome speaker lineup that wants to pour into your life. One of Dr. T's dear friends is going to be up there with us out there from Lakewood. Scott Smith's coming. He's going to be doing a session on marriage for us this year.
Be real. Let me tell you, it will be real and straightforward. So
Scott,
I wouldn't miss Scott.
Yeah, Scott actually, he came on the podcast with me a few months ago and we talked about marriage. So just a great guy, but so many other speakers, it's going to be there, guys. So go to movministries.org. You can find all our resources there, everything Man Up Monday, our shop's there. And of course, you can get registered for this year's conference, and we hope to see you and your men there. Hey, guys, we love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, as always, keep fighting, win today, and let's go light this thing up for the King. God bless, men. We'll see you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode and that you will continue to join us on this journey to make disciples of men. Be sure to check out our social media outlets as well as movministries.org for any information, and be sure to join our digital men's community.
Hey guys, we wanted to let you know that Men of Valor Podcast is proud to partner and be a part of the Recovering Fundamentalist Podcast Network. You can find their podcast and many other great podcasts by going to rfpnetwork.org. We would love for you to go and check them out as well. Hey, keep fighting, win today, and as always, go light it up for the King.